And I will say I'm really stirred for today's message. And so this is our second week in our series that we are calling My Greatest Year If. How many want to see God do some incredible things through your life in 2018? I think if we're going to see some things, we got to do some things differently than the way we've done them. And so I think we've got to continue to be open up to change. Everybody say change. And change is not something that we should push back on. And change is something that we need to accept. And Joel chapter 2 is kind of our theme verse, and it says, that's why the Lord says, turn to me while there is time. We're limited in our time. How many know the only thing that you and I cannot get back is our time? Amen? And it goes on to say, God says, give me your heart. Said this last week, if God has your heart, he has your life. And he said, I want you to come with me with fasting, weeping, mourning. Don't tear your clothing and your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful, compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. So I just want you to just kind of think about how your year is going. Your first 2 weeks, we're already in mid-January, folks. I mean, we're already a few weeks in this. And how are you doing? And that's a question I just want you to think about. Maybe how are those New Year's resolutions going? And have you broken some of them? And do we need to just kind of pick it back up today? It's interesting that only half of Americans set resolutions and only 10% of them are successful. But it's interesting to me, as bleak as that may seem, people who set goals are 10 times more likely to attain them. And so I believe in goal setting, but I believe in goal setting with God, because you and I cannot do this without the power of God. If you're trying to do this without him, you'll fail. And they'll just continue to be resolutions that'll be on the list. But I want more. I want all that God has for me. And I think really that's what I've been sensing this week, is a sense of desperation. I think people are getting desperate. How many are desperate for God, wanting to hear his voice? Some of us need direction. Some of us need clarity. Some of us need that peace to know, man, where do we go from here? And so we all have things that we want to, I think, change in our life. It's why we come into a new year, we set goals, we write lists, we make resolutions. But oftentimes, if you're like me, sometimes you've seen some of those same goals or resolutions come up on the list again and again. How many of you have seen that? That you've maybe something that you wanted to accomplish last year is back on the list this year. And it's okay. But I would say this, that if we just keep doing and setting the same goals and never achieving them, then we're fulfilling the definition of insanity. And that's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So how many know, at some place, we've got to make some changes. At some place, we've got to have a turn of direction, and I think we've got to create a better system. And I think the first thing that we have to identify is our framework for life. And we will never be successful trying to accomplish everything. Somebody say a good amen. Amen. Some of us need to hear that. You are not great at everything. You're not good at everything. But you and I can be good. We can be great at a few things. And I think that's what's important, is that we keep our eyes on the few things and do the few things well. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 17 that an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. So aim at wise action. And that's what really this whole message is about today, that If we're going to have a great year, we've got to turn our somedays into today. Have you ever heard that people talk about wanting to accomplish things, and they'll say, well, someday I'll do that, and someday when this happens, and I'll talk more about that here in just a minute, but I think it's interesting, and that's where I think a lot of us find ourselves, that we're pulled in every kind of direction, and we're running crazy, tired, stressed. And I'm challenging you even right here today to, And I love the song that we sang, and I'm just going to prep the worship team. I don't know, I just want to tell you guys, be ready to come up here at the end of this service. I love the song that we sang, Speak to Us. As I was down there today, that's literally what I was praying for us to hear more than anything today. It's not hearing my voice, but hearing the voice of God for your life. Not even just today in Sunday service, but through this 21 days of prayer and fasting. I'm desperate to hear the voice of God. And maybe you haven't had that moment, or God, you haven't heard his voice quite yet in this fast. Give God some time and let him speak. Amen, church? Because here's what I know. I'm challenging you today to prioritize what is important, because life is too short. Isn't it true that life is just short? And I think most of us would agree. The Bible talks about that we are given 70 to 80 years on this earth. And anything above that is bonus points. All right, so 70 to 80 years. Don't you think about that? That's not long that you and I have. And the older you get, the faster it goes. And life is way too short to live unfulfilled and unhappy. All right, I'm going to say it again. Life is too short to live, come on, unfulfilled and unhappy. And the church said a good amen. Yeah, you don't want to live a life just unfulfilled, just going through the motions, being robotic. And I think most of the times when we hear things like enjoy today, seize the moment, get the most out of life, that our thoughts are drawn towards temporal things. And really that's what happened with the nation of Israel, that they were focused on everything else but God. Let's look at the scripture here in Isaiah 22. It says, you dance and play, you slaughter cattle and kill sheep. You feast on meat and drink wine. You say, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we will die. And I think this is the mentality of our world and our culture, that baby, let's just live in the moment and let's not worry about the rest of the week or the rest of the month or the years ahead. Let's just live for today. And I think that it's even sunk in a little bit to the church, and we've got to be careful. We got to be careful to have a right perspective, a godly perspective for life and how God wants us to live. And so I want to give us a few things and really just the facts of life that is just a reminder to us today. And so if you're following along in your notes, jot this down today, that life is valuable. Everybody shout, life is valuable.
Life is valuable.
Your life is your most precious currency. Think about maybe the resolutions that you've set. One thing is that you have in common with everything is time. If you're wanting to see that promotion or that raise, how many know it's going to cost your life and it's going to cost time, right? If you're wanting to maybe restore some of those relationships, how many know it's going to require time? If you want to get physically fit, how many know it's going to require time, right? And so this year, I want you to think about this. You're going to exchange your life for something. You're going to exchange your life for something, and this is why I think this message is so important, because it's going to hopefully bring a challenge to you to really identify, where am I at, what am I doing, where am I really going this year? Because the Bible says in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days, God. Teach us, again, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. I just want to leave that scripture up there for a minute. Teach us to number our days. Why? Because time is short. And there's a reason why God wanted you and I to think about the brevity of life, to think about that our days are numbered, not to scare us, not to put fear in us, but to realize that we have a short time to make an impact. And the question is, what am I doing with the time that I have? What kind of impact am I making on people? Because I can't think of anything more fulfilling in life than making an impact and making a difference in the life of somebody else. Amen, everybody? So teach us, God, to number our days so that we may gain, so that we may be wise, so that we live with an understanding that life is also, jot it down, fleeting. Unlike other commodities, time must be spent every day. How many know that you can't stock up on time, right? How many know that you can't go to Best Buy after church today and buy some time? How many know that you can't cryogenically freeze yourself yet? I mean, maybe it'll happen, who knows? But the Bible says this in Psalm chapter 39. I think this is interesting. David, a couple times, I'm going to point this out. He said, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me, there he goes again, that my days are numbered. I don't know how long I have, but Father, let me never forget that I'm here for just a time. Life is but a mist. It's here and it's gone, the Bible says. And that my life is fleeing away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand. An entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Human existence is but a breath. Life is too short. It's valuable. It's fleeting. And then here's what I know about life is that it's final. Once it's spent, you can't get it back. You and I have one life we get to spend. You can spend it any way you want, but you only get one shot. And there's no do-overs. So when you think about the impact, and you think about what are you doing with your life, it's really sobering to think about and to come to terms in reality of, man, what am I doing? What am I accomplishing for God? Because when we go to heaven, when we stand before Almighty God, and heaven and hell are realities, folks, and man, when we have a relationship with God, we are guaranteed that eternity in heaven, and he's going to ask us, what'd you do with my son? What'd you do with what I gave you to do on this earth? And I don't know about you, but man, I want to be able to respond and say, God, I did everything I knew to do to serve you and to tell others about you. Amen, everybody? And I know we probably have all faced even this reality. How many times have you ever wished that, man, I wish I could get 5 minutes back, that 5 minutes or that conversation, or whoops, didn't mean to send that text. That awkward moment, yeah, when you meant to send your wife a spicy text and it goes to one of your buddies. Whoops, that was me, all right. Thank God it was a friend, amen, all right. Glory to God. But not only are your days numbered and already spent, but your life then is gone. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, just as a man is destined to die once, after that face judgment. You and I have a destiny with death. And I know that's not a shouting message there. Woo! But no matter how far away it may seem or how close it may seem, for all of us, life is short. It's too short to live in the regrets of yesterday and yesterday's mistakes. That's why I love this verse in Isaiah 43, to forget what happened in the past. I think some of our greatest issues and struggles of moving forward is we constantly are reminded of our past and we forget who our God is. We don't have a right view of God and we don't have a right view of ourselves. Because God sees you forgiven and free, past, present, and future. And we constantly get stuck in yesterday. I'm just telling you, God makes all things new. And so no matter what has happened, he's a God that is a restorer. And I'm telling you, is a God that in the midst of our mess can create a masterpiece. And you are his masterpiece. So, man, Kyle, you have no idea what I've done. You're right, I don't. But I'm not worried about it, neither is God. You know, just yesterday, Bethany and I were helping a young woman and walking through a tough season, and not in church here, so don't worry about it, don't know her, but just in that place of, and said those words, you have no idea what I've done. And we said, man, we're not focused on what you did. We're focused on today. We're focused on moving forward. I'm just here to encourage somebody. Man, God's focused on your today and moving forward so that you can have the future that he wants for your life. Can you say a good amen? Life's too short, though. Forget what's happened in the past. Don't dwell on events from long ago. Don't live there, all right? I'm going to do something new. Everybody say, he's going to do something new. Come on, say it again. He's going to do something new. It's already happening. Don't you recognize it? I will clear away in the desert. I will make rivers on dry lands. Life's too short to totally focus on the present. It's interesting, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul was writing to the church about the struggles and things that he was enduring, and he was making a point about the focus of life. He said, what value was there in fighting wild beasts, those men in Ephesus? If there will be no resurrection from the dead, if there is no resurrection, let's just feast and get drunk, for tomorrow we will die. In other words, and I'll just kind of quote Isaiah here, because in other words, if that's all there is to this life, then baby, let's live it up. Let's party. Let's live it up for the moment that we're in. But if eternity is real, and it's real, everybody, amen, then let's live for eternity. Let's live for eternity, not the moment, not just, man, just living it up. And that's where Israel was. They were in a place they were just focused on their moment instead of having an eternal perspective of the kind of impact that they were not making. And I think it's crucial. And I want to give you a point here this morning that I think is one that you're going to need to digest a little bit after today. That it's just next one. And I just want you to write this down. That you are not a physical being having spiritual experiences. You are a spiritual being having temporary physical experience. I'm going to say it again. You are not a physical being having spiritual experiences. You are a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience. Life is so much shorter than what we think. And the spirit part of us is what's going to live on. We talked last week about who's in charge, spirit, soul, body. One of those are in control. If you missed last week's message, man, you got to make sure you go back and listen to it. But life is shorter. Someone, statistically, they say somebody dies every second. Every second, somebody is headed into eternity. So when you think about that, man, you think about, again, legacy. What am I doing with my life? How am I pursuing God today that's going to impact and help me, but then be able to help others? For some of us, we need to help ourselves before we can help other people. and that's okay. Sometimes we go through seasons like that, and that's okay, all right? I want three people to come up here and help me. I don't care who you are. I just need three right now. Come on, help me. Three. Look at them all. That's what I'm talking about. There's one, two, three. All right, perfect. Man, they're on it. They've been through enough illustrations here. All right, I just need three. So whoever wants to have a seat. All right, so I want you to hold that end. I want you to stretch it across, Amy. Hayden, I want you to hold that end. Stretch it, and then Jeffy, just hold up the middle there. Stand behind me. All right, don't tie me up. Don't trip me now. All right. So I want you to see something. This is an illustration I did a few years ago. And I think it's an illustration that's worth repeating from time to time. Because there are many people, especially within our culture and our world, that are just flat out consumed with this life. I mean, how can I make more money? How can I have that extravagant vacation or that extravagant house? And God doesn't mind if you have nice things, trust me. God doesn't mind if you have stuff as long as your stuff don't have you, all right? And some are consumed with just material things. But my question is, what about eternity? What about the impact? Because what you do today echoes through eternity. So I want you to look at this. And hey, if you'd hold that side up real high, all right? Everybody see the red tape on that end? How many know it's not long? That red tape, and that part of that rope represents your life and mine. The rest of this rope represents eternity. We have a short window of time. Think about that. That's about all that is that we live on this earth. And we have the rest of time that we're going to be in eternity. Why? Because eternity is forever. And so we have this short window of time that you and I are given. Again, the Bible says 70 to 80 years that we're given. Anything above that's bonus points. But this is all that we get. Are you with me? And so I'm encouraging you. And this is not fear. This is me challenging us today. I just really felt this in my spirit as I was praying that we need to continually be challenged to look that this is not our home, everybody. Our citizenship is not on this earth. It's in heaven. We have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That's why we have a job in this church of reaching as many people as we can for the gospel of Jesus Christ to empty hell and fill and populate heaven. That's our job. That's who we are. That's who we're going after. But I've only got this much time. And then the rest of my time is going to be spent in eternity. So the question is, what kind of impact? I said, well, I'm young. I got all my life. What's the best time to use your life? Today. So, well, I'm old. Still got time and still can be used. I'll tell you some people that I've known in my life, some of their greatest years were in their latter. And I'm just telling you, God knows no age. And I'm glad he doesn't. Because you know what? Doesn't matter if you're 5. Doesn't matter if you're 85. You and I can still be used by God. And I'm just encouraging you today, man, if you don't hear anything else, that you just have to leave with this visual today and asking yourself today, man, what kind of impact and difference am I making? What am I doing with my life? How am I drawing closer to God? Maybe for some of us, you know, your next big step is maybe it's in a growth track, finding your gifts and your purpose. It's a small group, doing life not alone. And I just want to encourage you today with that. Paul, I love it because he got it right when he said, I got to forget what's happened in the past because I don't have a lot of time, so I can't spend my life focusing on things that have no power over me. I'm giving it the power, but I can't do it any longer. I've got to end it because time is short. And he said, and I got to focus on what's ahead of me. Because I get one chance in this life. And I'm just encouraging you, don't buy into the deception of the enemy. One of the greatest lies of the enemy is just trying to get us to come to church and never do anything else outside of that. Satan loves it when you and I don't make steps outside of it. But he starts to get fearful when people start locking in 21 days of prayer and fasting. He starts to get fearful when we start taking new steps of purpose to become more effective in our life for the kingdom of God. Why? Because we have a hurting world. And we want this to be a healing place for hurting people. Come on, church. Are you with me? Amen. And so I want this to get in your spirit. And I was thinking about this too. What if, and God forbid, I'm not speaking anything over us, but what if we were given 30 days to live? Think about this. I was thinking about this week too. What if you and I were given 30 days to live? I think there'd be some things that you would stop doing, and I really think there'd be some things you would start doing. So that may be something for us to write down. What do I need to stop doing, and what do I need to start doing? What are some things today that I need to stop that is having a negative effect on my life, that's taking me away from God's plan and purpose? And what are some things that I need to start doing that's going to bring me towards God's plan and His heart for my life? And I want to start out this year, you and me, by investing in the only part of you that's going to live forever, and that's your spirit. And that's the eternal part of your life. And I would contend, and I would say it this way, that by prioritizing the spiritual part of your life, you will actually raise your capacity to enjoy the journey. Amen, everybody? Would you give these guys a hand? All right, thanks for helping. Guys, just drop it. Thank you guys so much. So here's what we got to do. We got to turn our some days into today. So number one, jot it down. You've got to turn your when into now. Your when into now. A lot of us live in the when-then syndrome. Someday when I get married, I'll be happy. All the married couples are chuckling. Someday. Someday. I heard some of y'all. Someday when I get the right home, then I'll lead a small group. Someday when I make a little money, I'll get out of debt. Someday when the kids are grown, then I'll work on my marriage. Someday when my favorite restaurant closes, then I'll get into shape. Help us, Lord. Someday when I'm older, I'll focus on spiritual things. Turn your when into now. Can I tell you, one of the most sad funerals I ever did was some years ago. And didn't know the man who had passed, and it was tragic how he passed, but they were desperate to find somebody to try to do the funeral, and I knew the person that was friends with this gentleman, and I said, yeah, I'd be happy to help. And he just didn't know anybody, have a relationship. So I'll never forget, I showed up at that funeral, and I'll never forget it. I made an impression on my heart that will never leave me. And I got there way before, had the viewing, then had the funeral on the same day, and nobody was coming in. And I just walked around a little bit, and one, two people come in. Thought, okay, here we go. We're about an hour in. A couple more. One lady's up at the casket, cussing him out. True. I couldn't believe it. And I watched this and just stood there, and I began my message somewhat similar to this in the sense of just the brevity of life. And I looked out, and there was a few people there. And I mean a few. It was one of the most sad funerals I've ever done in my life. And I thought, my God, what has happened? One of the family members had told me said that he had made a choice, that he's going to isolate himself. Family said, we hadn't talked to him in over 25 years. Didn't want nothing to do with anybody. And I just thought, my God, how sad. So I tried to do the best I could to just honor the deceased, as you could imagine. But it was also very sad to me that a life that was lived in a very, very limited impact. And so it had me thinking about what kind of legacy, what kind of life am I living to impact people? I thought, man, when people are at my funeral, are they just going to be looking at their clock, waiting for this thing to get over? Or are they going to remember, hopefully, somebody that loved God, loved people, did the best they could with their life? And I know this isn't a real shout-me-down kind of message today, gang, but I feel in my spirit an urgency like never before that we have got to hear from the Lord, and we've got to go all in with what God wants for our life and not waste time. Are you with me, church? Don't waste it. I think it's easy to live in a time other than now. We do this with God. And I just think for some of us, you've had disappointments in your life. We all have. And you've had frustrations and you've been through tough things. But don't allow what has happened then to determine your now and where you're going. I mean, if there is anything your past or the enemy can do, it's rob you of your future. And to get you in a place to try to tell you that you and I can't trust anybody. Could it be that some of your greatest disappointments were really development in disguise, though? Things that you're going through today, could it be that God is trying to develop you in the midst of it for you to trust him more, for you to see him more, for you to hear him more? Come on, somebody. And that whatever it is that you're facing and going through, there's no accidents with God. God is always very purposeful in everything that he does. That's why 2 Corinthians says, I tell you, now is the time. Come on, somebody. Say, now is the time. Come on, one more time. Now is the time. Not tomorrow, not next Sunday, not next year. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the best day. Tomorrow is the enemy of today. You've got to recognize that God is trying to do something in my life today, that what he wants to do is greater than anything that you could ever imagine. But some of us have got to take a step forward and say, God, whatever you want for my life is what I want. Whatever you want to do for my life, that's what I want to accomplish in Jesus' name. I'm not interested in just playing it safe, not interested in just going to the past. I need your freedom, and I need your Spirit to speak and to move in my life again. I need it. I'm desperate for it. Today's the best day. This is the moment. Number two, you have to turn your intentions into actions. Do you know what your New Year's resolution is and your goals? They're a list of intentions. And they will stay intentions unless you act. And I think this, that it would be a shame for God to want to do more and for you to settle for less. God has so much more for you. You are his masterpiece. You're not an original. You are his. When he made you beautifully. He made you complex. You and I are fearfully and wonderfully made by a God that knows exactly what we're going through. And I'm telling you, there's more to your story. There's more to be written. There's new chapters that are getting ready to turn in your life. Because you're going to make a decision. I can't force it upon you, but you've got to make the decision that, God, I'm going all in. I'm going all in. I'm going all in with you. And James says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. What good intentions do you have that maybe you haven't done yet? Maybe it's leading somebody to Christ. Maybe it's encouraging someone. Maybe it's your coworker, your friend. Maybe it's using your gifts to serve people right there in your neighborhood or your workplace and make an impact and show the love of God and kindness. You know the kindness, the Bible says it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. Your acts of service, your acts of generosity are bringing people to Jesus. What can you do to impact your workplace? What can you do to impact your sphere? For some, maybe it's using your gifts right here on a Sunday, making an eternal impact. It takes a lot of people to pull off Sundays and multiple services. Maybe it's giving of yourself, giving of your time, whatever. Maybe it's working on that relationship. I want to quickly give you three things that I think is powerful that Peter encourages with for us to focus on. You got to get this because this is such an encouragement. First of all, focus. If you're going to turn your when into now and you're going to turn intentions into actions, I want to give you just a couple quick practical helps. And that is focus on power. First Peter says, the end of all things is near. In other words, life is too short. Therefore, be clear-minded, self-controlled, so that you can pray. That's why we're in 21 days of prayer and fasting, so that we can seek God, so that we can, and again, fasting what? Is disconnecting from the world so that we can hear God's voice more clearly. Focus on power. Then focus on people. Why? Because people matter. People matter. Amen, church. The end of all things is near. Life is too short. So, above all, 1 Peter says, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's why the backbone of this church is small groups, man. Doing life together is better and not doing it alone. It's just amazing to me. And trying to do this life alone is horrific. I've been there, and it stinks. It's horrible. And don't do life alone. Make a commitment. For some, I encourage people all the time, at least one time, while they're in this church, to go through Freedom. Go through a Freedom small group this semester if you've not been through it. At the end of it, there's a retreat conference, 2 days. It's powerful. Oh, my gosh, it's powerful. Let this be the year that you come on, focus on people and focus on your purpose. The end of things is near. I want the entire worship team, come on up. 1 Peter 4 says, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. So the end of, for us is near, because life is short. We've got to turn our when into now, our intentions into actions. This is a great quote, that excuses is the thief that robs you of an enjoyable life and ultimately reaching your full potential. Don't allow excuses, come on, to hold us back. Let's go on into the future that God has like never before. Here's the last point I want to give you. Number three is this. You've got to turn your whole heart. Remember, we read in Joel chapter 2, God wants our hearts. If he has our hearts, he has our life. And I think what happens is we've got too many people doing the God thing halfway. And we get mad at God, we get frustrated at God, we get mad at people, frustrated at people. And it's because we're doing things halfway. I'm gonna give you an example. Many of you may have gotten the flu shot. My God, the flu is going around like never before. Been praying healing for families. It's crazy. But the flu shot, what's it do? It gives you just enough of the flu. It's, in other words, it's the flu without the power to make you and I resistant to the whole thing. Are you with me so far? And so what happens, I think, in the local church and religious environments, what has happened to us is we have just enough Jesus, just enough Christianity, just enough of the Bible. So when the real power of God comes, we push back. And I'm just encouraging us this year, let this not be the year of pushing back, but saying, God, I want all that you have for me. Whatever it is that you have, give it to me. We need a detox from religion, and we need to find that relationship with God again that burns within our heart and our spirit, that's firing us up to do and to be a part of the answer of what God wants to accomplish in the world today. Want to be a part of it. And we need to realize a little bit of God isn't going to work. The problem with American culture, American Christianity, is we like a God that we can control. We like a Christianity that we can control. We like a Jesus that we can control. And I'm just telling you, man, if you're going to experience all that God has, you got to drop the past of ideology that has kind of kept you, and you got to realize he's a God that is so much bigger than you, so much bigger than your brain, that he wants to show off his power, that he wants to do some crazy stuff. But the problem is that we have surrounded God with walls. It's not walls that he's placed, it's walls that we've put. And God is saying, if you'll let me tear down these walls, I'll do some miraculous things, but you've got to believe me. You've got to take the limits off and let me be God in your life. And that's the desperation. Man, I pray you feel the urgency this morning of God's heart more than anything else. I said, God, I don't want them to hear me today. I want them to hear the urgency of your voice. And in this hour, I don't know how much time we got left, everybody, but with whatever time that we have left, I pray you spend it for Jesus. Make your relationship with him a priority again. And I just know until Jesus is enough for you, no person or thing will ever be. Jesus has got to be enough for you. Are you with me today? Would you bow your heads right where you're at? God, we love you. We love you. And God, we're sorry for going our own way.
We need you. We don't need a formula. We need your power. We need your spirit. We need you. Father, today forgive us for just living life however we've wanted. We recommit our hearts to you. We recommit our hearts to you. God, we love you. And we need you, God. I'm sorry, church. I don't have the words to say right now. God, we need you, though. I'm just going to lead us all in this prayer. Just of a recommitment in our heart. I don't know where you're at, but I don't mind doing it myself. We all got things we're going through, things we need to move forward from. This is the salvation call this morning. Come on, and if you're here and you don't know God, this is a moment from your heart that you can speak to him today. I'm going to lead us in a prayer that you can be saved. And just mean it from your heart. Mean it from everything within you today. And come on and just say this. Say, Jesus, my heart belongs to you. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of living life my own way. I declare today that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. God, thank you for loving me and always pursuing.